certainly to all of you. This morning, if you do have your Bible, I would like to invite you to join me in Matthew chapter 24. As we begin this morning, Matthew chapter 24. And I know we haven't done this since we haven't really gathered together as a full congregation, but for those of you who have typically come over the past, you know, we typically do a little confession. And for many of you, if you don't have the words, you may not be familiar with it, and that's okay. But maybe I'll just do it this morning. And if you're home and you know it, I invite you to join in with me. But we basically just express our confidence in the Lord and in His Spirit to speak to us through His Word. So we just say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. And we confess, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, as we think about, and actually I've said it even here over the last few weeks on an occasion or two, that all of us have been affected in some way, in some varying ways and to various degrees by this global pandemic. Some people have been out of work. Some people have are overworked, and we've all been restricted in some of our gatherings and things that are going on, certainly. And I'm like everyone else, I guess, or certainly like most of the people I've talked to. We do want to get back to somewhat of a normalcy in our lives, and I believe that time is coming. Thank God that it is. But just as some of you, of course, will remember, certain aspects of our lives changed after 9/11. We don't go to airports like we once did. We don't carry everything onto airplanes that we once did. There are restrictions. Life changed in a sense. Now, we go about our normal lives, but there was an adjustment. There were some things that changed afterward. And it may be that there will be some lasting change. I personally believe there will be. There will be some lasting change that come about because of this COVID-19 and the virus and pandemic that's going on right now. But I do look forward to the time that we get back to at least somewhat of a normal. And can I just say, thank God for normal. I know it's easy to take normal for granted, but thank God for normalcy and in the good things. But I want to call your attention this morning here in Matthew chapter 24 to something Jesus said about, or in relation to His return to this earth, and it kind of related to our normal lives. So notice what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29. This is Jesus speaking because the disciples ask Him what it would be like when He returns. And so He gives them different signs. And He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven. That's very cataclysmic. And He says, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming, the Bible says, on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then He relates that coming event to something that happened previously in history. We talked about it a little earlier in the service here. He says this in verse 36. Matthew 24:36, excuse me. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And please call attention to this, or draw your attention, because He doesn't really focus on a lot of their sins. Now, we read in Genesis, they were doing some bad things. It was like evil everywhere and constantly. But notice what Jesus says about it in the days of Noah, verse 38. He says, for in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. over in the book of Luke. He says people were buying and selling. They were planting. They were building. They were harvesting. All of those things can be good activities. It's not a sin necessarily to, certainly even as the scripture says here, that, you know, we eat and of course we can drink good things. We don't have to get drunk. Marrying, giving in marriage, those are all good. But he says in verse, in that next verse, he says in verse 39, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Here's the issue. It wasn't that these things were sin in themselves. The problem is they were going about their normal daily lives with no thought whatsoever of God. That's the issue. And so when the judgment came, they were completely unprepared. I mean, isn't that sad? Think about that. People were just going about their daily lives, but they had no time, no attention, no thought for God. They didn't really care about God. They were just going about living in time without any thought of eternity. And sadly, they lost both. They lost the full potential of what they could have done in time, and they lost the fullness of what could have taken place of being with God forever in eternity as well. And then so Jesus goes on and he says this in verse 44, Matthew 24, 44, therefore you also be ready. Be ready. The only, in other words, he's saying stay ready. And the only way that we can stay ready is to stay in close fellowship with the Lord. Jesus said, follow me. That means accompany me. You picture it like we're just going through life together. We're walking together. We're fellowshipping together. I'm following what he did by his example. I'm following the teaching of Scripture. That's what it means. And the first step of following is to believe in him and receive him as the Lord of my life. So the message I want to share this morning is thank God for the normal. And I believe there will be life after COVID. But here is, I want to just say it by God's grace. And if it's in your heart to make this confession and this declaration with me, I want to ask you to just receive it today, that by God's grace, following Jesus is my normal. Following Jesus is my normal. That's the message today. Following Jesus is my normal. Now, for some of us, it may be a new normal, and that's great. Thank God. Come on, start today and make following Jesus your new normal. Because we don't want to be like the people that were in Noah's day and they're just going about their daily lives and not really thinking about God. But I want to make this practical, because how do we live it out in our daily lives? Because I think we can all relate to a human tendency to just get busy, and we go about our daily lives, even if we're not busy. It's so many distractions. Some people out of work and maybe they're filling time with things that aren't really productive, and I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just saying I know how easy it is to fill our schedule with things that aren't really even going to matter and count. And yes, we need our time for leisure and fun and all of that. Those are all blessings. But we don't want to live our lives with not giving any attention to God and so little time for him, but we make time for everything else. So how do we make time for God, and how do we live this out? I want to just give you three words real quick, if you just want to maybe even write them down, just get them in your heart. Because how do we overcome the distractions? How do we overcome the tendency to just live our daily lives with little attention and little time for God? And I believe these words can be practical and helpful. Here they are. Desire. The second one, I'm sorry, decision. The second one is desire. And the third one is discipline. Decision. Desire, discipline. Decision, desire, and discipline. I want to read you a few more verses here from Jesus in Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Because if we really want to follow the Lord, the first step of following the Lord, it begins with a decision. We make a decision. We choose every day certain courses of action. And we can make a quality decision to say, I'm going to follow Jesus with God's help, by God's grace. And that's the only way any of us will ever make it. But he offers grace to us. So to follow Jesus, following Jesus is my normal. He says this in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said, if anyone desires, that's the first one of the words there, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's the kind of like all three of them together, that we, if we want to follow Jesus, we have that desire, that we make a decision, and then we have to live out the practical discipline of actually following him. Verse 25, he goes on and he says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So the Lord wants us to, he has good things in mind for us, but it all comes out of walking in relationship with him. God wants to be our Father, and he won't force himself on us, though. We make that decision. So we make a decision, first of all, based on responding to God's word and his spirit. It's not just something I kind of conjure up on my own one day. No, Jesus is drawing and he's calling us and he's saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. And we just say yes to God and we say yes to his will. And that's how we make following Jesus our new normal. And, you know, the Bible talks about desire in many places. Jesus said it right here. Desire motivates us. It's the difference between, you know, I need to be somewhere at a certain time in the morning, especially back years ago. Right now, I wake up really early. I don't even set an alarm, but at one point, I had a hard time getting up. And I know I should get up. I got to get to work. I got to get somewhere on time. And the alarm goes off, and I just want to hit snooze. And so the desire wasn't quite strong enough to get me out of bed. The desire is, I'm going to lay here and get five more minutes. I don't care how rushed I am. And so desire is very motivating, very powerful. But you know, we can increase our desire for God and his will, just like we can increase, some of you know, we can increase our desire for certain food or drinks and like nutritious food. Some people say, I'll never used to eat that, or I never used to drink water. And now many of you do, just because I know some of you. And you increase your desire. The Bible says desire the sincere or the pure milk of the word that you may grow by it. And as we take in God's word and we pray and we worship, we can actually increase our desire for God and his will. And then Jesus told us to make disciples. I relate the word disciple to the word discipline. Disciples and discipline, because we will not always feel like doing everything that God wants us to do. But discipline motivates us. See, discipline encourages us. We develop discipline. Just like you develop discipline maybe to get up at a certain time or to practice certain activities, we develop godly discipline because we know how much our Savior loves us. And we know what he did for us when he suffered and died and took our punishment on the cross, paying for every wrong thing that we've ever done or ever will do. And in response, we want to please him. We want to live for him. And that's what increases our desire to develop discipline in our lives. So decision, desire, and discipline. And I was thinking about this. I went on a little walk. Some days I like to go out. In fact, most days right now I can't go to the gym. So if it's not pouring down rain, I like to go around and walk. And, you know, earlier in the morning it's nice out. And yesterday I had walked out a little ways and was coming back home. And these verses were coming to my mind about some of like our purpose statement here. Our purpose statement is, our purpose is to follow Jesus, be equipped to serve him, and become more like him. That's kind of like our theme here. And there are certain practices that help us to follow Jesus and stay close to him, like God's word and prayer, worship, fellowship, and sharing our faith, reaching out to others. Those five activities, they were coming to my mind, and I was thinking about them in the book of Revelation. So I'm going to turn and read a few verses here out of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, beginning there. The Bible says, this last book of the Bible that kind of gives us a scene of what it's going to be like toward the end of this age and God's ultimate heart and purpose for us here as it gets toward the end of that book. But the Bible says in Revelation 1:9, he says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Here is one of Jesus' closest followers, and He's been in tribulation. He's suffering because of his faith in Jesus, but he was willing to go through it all because of what Jesus had done for him. And he knew that God was with him and he had forever coming to enjoy the fullness of God's blessings. So he continues on in that verse and he says, I was in the tribulation for, notice how he words it, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It was God's word. Thank God for his word. I'm so thankful that we can know God and we can learn about him and know his truth. The Bible says that God's word strengthens us and it builds up our faith. So I'm thankful that God has given us his word. And it's not just a book to read like some science or history book. It's God's revelation to us. It imparts life to us if we'll receive it that way. So it's one way that we take in God's word by hearing, reading, whatever form it may be, it can help us stay close to the Lord. That's my normal. Following Jesus is my normal. And then over, and I'll just kind of do them in order, in chapters 2 and 3, we see fellowship. Jesus speaks a direct word to seven local churches. And I know we're limited on our gatherings right now, that we can't have, you know, over so many and so forth and keeping our distance. But brothers and sisters, the Bible commands us to gather together physically. And that time is coming. I believe it is. Of course, we want to be wise and everything. I know that. But fellowship is very important. In fact, I'll say that maybe some of us value fellowship even more than we did probably 2 months ago. Because when it's taken from us, you know how it is many times. When we lose something, then we tend to realize how much it meant to us after all. And some people have even expressed it to me. This type of gathering is their spiritual family. And outside of the gatherings here, it's like they don't really have other believers to fellowship with. And they look forward to this time. So there's fellowship here in chapters 2 and 3. And then over in chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, I love how this is worded here in verse 8. This is a scene in heaven. And just think about this. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8 says, when he, talking about Jesus as the Lamb, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and these 24 elders up around the throne of God, they fell down before the Lamb, that's Jesus. They each had a harp that speaks of our worship and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Think about that just a second. I hope to encourage you with this. This came, I guess, years ago to me. I pictured it. Like when I pray, sometimes I would think about my prayers going into a bowl in heaven. And God knows that when our prayers are in line with his will, he knows the perfect timing. And when that bowl is filled, it's like God sends the answer back to the earth. And so I just want to encourage someone today who may feel like, my prayers feel like I'm not being answered and they're going nowhere. No, maybe we just haven't come to the fullness of the bowl yet. He hears every prayer, and those that are according to his will, he answers. He goes on in this next verse 9. He says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain. And I love this. You have redeemed us. You've bought us. You rescued us to God by your blood from every tribe, every tongue, every people group, every nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. There's prayer and worship. Again, that's not just singing a song. It's not just kind of mindlessly mouthing words. It's staying in connection. It's how we stay close and how we follow Jesus. Is worship and prayer your normal? If not, let's make it a new normal today, because worship is the atmosphere of heaven. Please don't discount it. When we have those, thank God for the times together, but we can worship first from our heart with the Lord wherever we are, to welcome him and his presence together into our lives. And then one more, I'll just read it to you from the last chapter of this book, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. This speaks of outreach because it says the Spirit of God, and the bride. The bride pictures the church, those who know Jesus. They're saying, come, both of us together, God's Spirit and his people. We're inviting people, come to Jesus. And let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. You can be forgiven of all of your sins. You can have eternal life today if you just believe the testimony of God and receive Jesus as your Lord. He is the living water. And that's our new normal. I want to just maybe make this a little personal, not to condemn you, just to think about it, though. How do you incorporate these five activities into your normal, into your life of prayer and worship and God's word, of fellowship, of sharing your faith? How do you kind of incorporate that into your normal? And if you look at your life and say, man, I've slipped off here, I've gotten off track there, all right, you know what? It's a new day. Come on, none of us have arrived. Let's make a decision right now that this is, following Jesus is my normal, and if I have to make some adjustments, this is my new normal, and I'm going to start today, today. God willing, we are coming to the end of this pandemic and all of the restrictions and all of the things that have been going on in our lives. But I want to really ask you to think about something here, to just watch and pray. Watch and pray. I want to read you something from, again, I'm going to close here with these last verses in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 13. The Bible says this, Revelation chapter 13, beginning in verse number 15. Think about this, please, in relation to what we've experienced here just over the last couple of months. The Bible says, again, Revelation 13, 15, he was granted power or authority to give breath to this image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship this image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm not saying, you know, it was somebody's fault or anything right now. I'm just simply saying, by what we have all experienced, can you see how a government could make a decision to decide who buys and sells? Because we've already seen it. We've seen it right here in our own nation. We've seen not only businesses and stores close. In one case, one leader said, you can't buy seeds to plant in one of our states right here in the United States. Again, I'm not, maybe the intention is good. I'm not faulting, blaming, condemning anyone. I'm just saying it's not hard, at least in my opinion, it's not hard to see how something written 2,000 years ago could easily take place in our day. And the scripture assures us that that time is coming. And so as I began to think about this, then how should we live? And what is this mark? And some people get kind of scared. And I don't read a lot of stuff that's like conspiracy theories and all. I'm not saying they're not out there. I came to peace with that years ago, that I believe there can be conspiracies. I believe there is. I believe there is a movement toward this one world and all of, I believe it. But here's the issue. The Bible says that in Psalms 2, when men gather together and say, we're going to throw off the chains of God and we're going to live any way we want, the Bible says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. No human, no institution, no entity will ever overthrow God. So God has the final. I'm just at peace with saying whatever people plan, that's not the deciding factor for me. I'm going to follow Jesus because he's going to have the final say. And he is the ultimate authority. So I acknowledge it, but I don't really worry about it. Because even now they're talking about certain people, you know, rich people, and like even having this chip, maybe some of you have heard it, chip that they put in a vaccine that, you know, it's going to get into your body, and that's going to be the how they're going to control people. I want to give you, I hope, a little bit of peace today. I don't see that at all. It's whatever this mark is, it's like it's a choice. It's associated with worship. I'll show you that in just a moment. It's associated with worship. And I want to just point out one more thing. I'm going to come back to that. But over in Revelation chapter 7, and here's the key. You say, how do I avoid the mark? You want to avoid the mark of the beast? Get the seal of the Lamb, all right? Here you go. The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 2. It says, I saw another angel ascending from the east. He had the seal of the living God. Notice that. It's the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. And he said, don't do it yet. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. If we're sealed by the Lamb, we don't have to worry about that mark because we belong to God. A seal represents ownership. And if we've already committed ourselves to the Lord, He owns us and He'll see us through. That is the key, that we're going to make it through because of Jesus. He is the one. And this mark of the beast is a counterfeit of the seal of the living God. So I want to show you here that it's associated with worship. The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, and I'll close with these verses. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7. Following Jesus is my normal. He says that as an angel that proclaims with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and notice, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. So he says, we got to worship the Lord. If we're worshiping Him, we're not going to worship a false Messiah, this beast, this Antichrist, as he is called. So he goes on in verse 8 and he says, another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Let me pause there just a second. The original city called Babel in the Bible was where men gathered together, and they were going to build this tower. And it wasn't just that they wanted to get close to God. They wanted to live their lives without God. And they were going to be God. It was their own entity. And the Lord stepped in and sent confusion. And that's what Babel means, confusion. And that word Babylon, there was a literal Babylon years ago with Nebuchadnezzar and so forth. But it becomes a picture and kind of like a type of the world governments that are opposed to the Lord, that aren't really under His authority. God's going to overthrow those one day. His kingdom is going to be established. His reign is going to be right here on earth. So he says that time is coming. Babylon's going to be overthrown. And then notice these very sobering words, please, in verse 9. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships, here's the key, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on their forehead or hand, he himself shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out in full strength into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. If someone takes that mark, it will be an act of worship. It's not just, well, I'm asleep and somebody injects me with a chip and now I got to go to hell. No, no, no. It's not like that. It will be an act of worship that we commit ourselves to this one, that we give our worship and we give our service to whatever this thing is and whatever the mark is. So it will be a choice. See, everyone worships. We are created in the image of God and everyone worships. I didn't say everyone worships God. But see, every one of us, we give our attention to something or someone. We give our allegiance. We give our affection. There's something that we have a passion about. There's something that we praise. We talk about this and we talk about that, and it's kind of, it can almost be consuming to us. We give our time to something. We give our energy. We even give our money. And again, there are many things we can invest in and enjoy in life, thank God, but it's a matter of priority. If we put anything or anyone above God in our lives and in our hearts, then that thing, even if it's good, or that person can become an idol to us. And following Jesus means He's number one. He has no competition. And then everything and every person God blessed me with, man, it's all just thank you, Jesus. I use it for the Lord and for His glory and honor. And then that final verse here, I just want to call your attention to in verse 12 says this, Revelation 14, 12. Here is the patience of the saints. That word patience means perseverance. One translation says, this is the call for the saints to persevere. Brothers and sisters, whatever may happen in this world, if we know the Lord, in fact, having read those verses, let me say this to you. Just please hear me. If you're in Christ, yes, believers have faced persecution from day one. Religious Cain killed his righteous brother Abel because he was jealous of him. The early church was birthed out of persecution. They were going through hard times. If you give to the ministry here, one of the ministries we pass on to and bless is called the Voice of the Martyrs. This ministry reaches out to our brothers and sisters who live in areas of the world who can't freely gather like this. They don't have access to, they have to hide a Bible. I met a couple of brothers from Soviet Union years ago, and they told me how they had to take pages of the Bible and they hid them in their potato bins so the KGB wouldn't find them. And their last scene of their grandfather was the KGB coming in to arrest him, taking him out of their home, and they saw him go out of their house with his hands raised in praise to God in the snow as the KGB took their grandfather away. They never saw him again. So many believers have faced persecution, and Jesus said, in this life you're going to have tribulation, but it's all right. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And brothers and sisters, if we are in Christ, if Jesus is our Lord and God is our Father, we are like in Noah. We're like in the ark of safety. And tribulation may come and persecution may come, but we will never be subject to the wrath of God. And thank God for His blessing and thank God for His protection and His faithfulness to His people. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. Following Jesus is my normal. I want to just close with a kind of like a question here and maybe just a follow-up to think about to encourage you. How would you describe, you can go ahead and just, if you want to play something soft, or the worship team can come back. How would you describe your own walk with the Lord right now? Just think about it. Again, no condemnation, but is there maybe an adjustment, maybe a new normal that you need to work in? I'll even say it like this. This morning, thinking about this message, you know, it brings me to a place of repentance to say, Lord, I don't want to go back to any kind of a normal that's without you. I don't want any normal that you're not Lord of in my life. And so maybe you can relate to that today. Maybe that's your heart. And I just want to encourage you, whatever it is, would you just make it right with God right now? And my brother and my sister, whatever happens in this world or whatever happens in our personal lives, let's stay close to Jesus. Let's follow the Lord and let's follow Him closely. And as best we can, whether it's now or sometime in the future, let's encourage one another. We don't know what the future holds. What if the time came in our nation when we couldn't freely gather together like we have been for all these years, and we do have to meet in homes? Will you rise up? I'll even declare it like this. We're not part-time parishioners. We are full-time followers of Jesus. We're dedicated because we love Him, because He first loved us. So I just want to encourage you today, and just take a moment, if you would, and just think about that. And I want to invite, just you make peace with the Lord, and I'm going to have a closing prayer, and we're going to have a closing song. Father, we thank you today for your many blessings, Lord. And I know we have normals that are good, and we want to get back. And I'm thankful. I'm looking forward to that. You know my heart. But Lord, I pray that we would never make anything normal that excludes you. May you be Lord of all. We want you in our lives. We need you, Jesus. We need you in our lives. We need you in our thoughts. We need you in our temptations. We need you in our relationships, our families. We need you on the job. We need you in school. We need you in activities and hobbies. We just need you out in public. Yes, Lord. Draw us to yourself. Draw us to yourself, Lord. Father, may you have your way today. May you be glorified. Lord, I pray for each person watching, maybe someone listening today. Would you just meet them at their point of need? I just sense a lead. I want to pray for your families. Father, I pray for families today that you would just encourage them and some parents, maybe with the children. And I pray that you would give them peace help them to see that we don't have to, we feel the fear, we face it, but we don't have to be controlled by it. We can invite your presence in to give us peace, to lead us, Lord. And so I just ask now that, Lord, you're going to be glorified. Do a mighty work. Protect the children, not just physically, protect their hearts and minds from things that would take them from you. Draw them to the ark. Draw them to Jesus and the place of safety through the storms of life. Lord, let this be our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. This song talks about